With that as an introduction, we are on the ninth chapter of Sefer Nehemiah. So what happened last week? Nehemiah, Ezra, had come back, and they started reading the Torah, and there was this tshuva movement that began. If you recall, the people had celebrated Rosh Hashanah, they celebrated Sukkot with an enormous amount of enthusiasm, not since the times of Yehoshua ben Nun, and despite the fact that I had given this whole elaborate description of why I thought it was connecting back to Yehoshua ben Nun, Pasha Pshat, and this is what many of the Mefarshim point out, is that they hadn't fulfilled it with such enthusiasm. We know we can fulfill mitzvos and we can go through the motions and we can do it in a lackadaisical kind of way. And then there are days where we can fulfill the mitzvos, we can wake up and we can be energetic and enthusiastic. So that's what it meant. It meant there was this renewed enthusiasm to the connection with Hashem. And we've seen this at various other points throughout our studies, last year, 2 years ago, of Sefer Malachim. And what happens in this week's parak, chapter 9, is nothing short of astounding. And you'll notice some of the phrases are going to be quite familiar to you from various points of our Siddur. And what you'll also notice is that this parak is in many respects similar to, I can think of at least two other times, once in the year, once we do almost daily, where we do the exact same thing that the Jewish people are going to accomplish in chapter 9. Okay, so again, they've been excited, they're enthusiastic, they realize their mistakes, they realize they've fallen short. And what happens? Uvayom esrim v'arba l'chodesh hazeh. Why do they wait this long? Right, the 24th day of Tishrei. When Sukkot is now over. Sukkot ends on what day? 23rd. So some of them, unfortunately, I believe the Malbim points out, this is one of the sources for Isruchag, that they don't start fasting the day after Sukkot, but they wait a day after the Sukkot, and then they start with all the solemn activities. So, V'yom esrim v'arba l'chodesh hazeh nesfu b'nei Yisrael b'tzom uv'sakim v'adama lehem. They realize their errors, they realize their follies, and so they start fasting. Right, nesfu, Mitzudas David says, l'yushalayim l'shuv l'Hashem al ma'alav. They want to do tshuva. They want to return to Hashem. Okay, now, so what are they doing? Pasuk bet. Va'ibalu zera Yisrael mikol b'nei nechar. All of those people that intermarried are separating from their non-Jewish spouses. Vayamdu vayisvadu al chatasam v'avanos avoseim. And what do? They're admitting, they're doing vidui for their sins. Now, is this the first time we've encountered intermarriage in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah? No, we spent an entire chapter in the book of Ezra talking about it. That was a major component of Ezra's admonishing the people, was about this topic of intermarriage. So you can look at this now in one of two ways. Either as the Das Mikra looks at this, as a validation that Ezra's efforts were not as successful as we thought they were. Despite the fact that when we ended Sefer Ezra, we thought that he had accomplished, that he conquered the tragedy of intermarriage, says the Das Mikra, this parak is a proof that maybe Ezra wasn't as successful as we thought he was. Other way of looking at it, and this is how the Rabbag looks at it, is that no, Ezra was successful. Why then does he have to conquer the topic of intermarriage once again? So says the Rabbag, V'afal pi shekvar taharam Ezra, even though Ezra had already purified the Jewish people, mizeh kamo shekadam yidma shebo achar zeh, right? Shabo achar zeh sham anashim me'ashvi asher hisgalu bazeachet. That new people came. Right? Ezra had successfully purged the people of intermarriage. And just when he thought he had conquered it, new people came. And they're suffering from the same fate. And so now in the book of Nehemiah, they have to come along and tackle the issue once again. So everyone is sitting there. Again, you have to picture the scene. They're all sitting there. Right? Nesvu ha'am. They all gather together. They're fasting, they're wearing sackcloth, they have dirt on their head, all imagery of tshuva, of repentance. And people are separating. They're literally, right, they're divorcing themselves from their non-Jewish spouses. And they're sitting in town square, and they're confessing their sins. Pasukim vayakumu al amdam, vayikru'u b'sefer toras aranai Elohim reviz hayom. They read the Torah for a quarter of the day. Urvias misvadim umishtachvim ladonai Elohim. In the other quarter of the day, they're confessing and they're bowing down to Hashem. I'm not a mathematician. Bless you. My brother is. I'm not. But I know enough math to know that you have a quarter of the day reading Torah, a quarter of the day doing vidui. What's missing? Half. So what happens to the other half of the day? Says the Ralbag, then no, those are the bookends. First quarter of the day, they're reading the Torah. Last quarter of the day, they're doing vidui. What do they do in the interim? Says the Ralbag, Laman mizeh. We learn from this actually how we should behave on a fast day. Shebiyom tzom, that on a fast day, roy likro b'sefer Torah b'rviz hayom harishon. We read Torah in the beginning quarter of the day, right? Urviz hayom ha'acharon yizvadu v'yishtachvu l'Hashem yisbarach v'yispalu l'fanav l'chaper avanoseichem. The last quarter of the day, we confess and we ask Hashem that He should forgive us for our sins. Ki az heim b'leiv nishbar v'nidche mitzar atainis. Because by the second half of the day, we're in pain from the fast day, that we're softened up a little bit. We're more capable of approaching Hashem and asking Him for forgiveness. What's the middle half of the day? Roi sheyefash v'shu b'maseim v'yitaknu hamavot ki az yitakin sheyat tfilasam nishma. We do tshuva. You do tshuva. So the beginning of the day is you read the Torah, which gets us into the mindset that this is a fast day. The end of the day, excuse me, is when we ask Hashem for forgiveness. What do you do in the middle of the day? You actually have to do tshuva. Yifash v'shu ma'asehem. You have to look into yourself. You have to introspect. You have to figure out what you're doing wrong. And that's exactly how they're spending the day. So this is full-fledged repentance that the Jewish people are engaged in. Vayakam al ma'alei ha-levi'im. Ma'alei ha-levi'im is where the Levi'im would sit, and they would sing Shira in the Beis HaMikdash. So on that podium, so to speak, Yeshua and all these people get up there. Vayizaku b'kol gadol el Adonai Elohim. And they start screaming out to Hashem. Vayomru ha-levi'im. And what do these Levi'im say? Kumu barchu es Adonai Elohim min ha'olam ve'ad olam. They're blessing Hashem. Vayivarchu shem kvodecha umromam al kol bracha tila. They're blessing Hashem who's above every form of blessing. And what's this blessing that they are going to give Hashem? And what they're going to do, and this is why I'm specifically going to read it all inside, because it's gorgeous, is they're going to take us on a journey of Jewish history, of what I'll call the yin and the yang, or the waxing and wane of the relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people throughout Jewish history. Now, when else do we see the Jewish people taken on a journey of all of Jewish history? When else do we not just talk to Hashem in an isolated moment in time, but we broaden it, we take us out 30,000 feet and look down at the totality of Jewish history from that perspective? Well, once we do it, at the Seder night. Right? If you wanted to record the moment of Yetzias Mitzrayim, I would choose the Parshios of Shmos, Vayera, Bo, right? It's not what we do. We take from Sefer Devarim, with the Bikurim, with the Arami Obed Avi, Vayer Mitzrayim, Vayagur Sham, Mibseimaat, right? All these lines that's when we start getting hungry, by the way, right? The beginning of the Seder, we're gung-ho, we're excited, we have Divrei Torah, we have thoughts, we're asking questions. When you hit those psukim, bam, right? Especially now with my kids, it's like you go into the high-speed lane at that point, right? And you got to get to Dam Tzvardeya, you got to get to the 10 plagues as soon as possible because the kids are going to be out of here, right? I have a rule in my house. Because in my house, I hide the Afikoman and the kids have to look for it. So I know my son's going to find it first. And then he ruins it for everyone. So I basically pay off my son to let my youngest, right? I say, I'll give you a better present if you let her find it first. So everyone's happy at the, right? So that's how you get them through the psukim while the adults read the psukim, okay? So what are they doing? So it's exactly what we do at the Seder night. We broaden it out. We don't just thank Hashem in a very narrow scope, but we put it in the context of Jewish history. We do this one other time that I could think of at least, and that's benching. We do something extraordinary in benching. Food. What could benching have looked like? Hashem, Thank you for bread. Done. We do that. Borei Nefashos, even Ala Michia, which is a little bit longer. It's pretty succinct. It would save us a lot of time. What do we do in benching? We do something extraordinary. No delecha Hashem Elokeinu. What are we talking about here? Why not just say, thank you Hashem for the bread? What are we talking about? Giving us Bris Milah and giving us the land of Israel? The answer is that sometimes we thank Hashem, when we acknowledge Hashem, so to magnify it, we take it back a little bit. And we broaden the scope of what we're thanking Hashem for. And by doing that, what are we also expressing? Right, there's a total picture to Jewish history. If you look at one moment in time in Jewish history, a slice of Jewish history, you're not going to get the full picture. We experience this on Purim also. What do we do on Purim? Right before, any Megillah readers here? No, I'm not a Megillah reader, but I know this part. What does the Baal Koreh do? He doesn't just open up a Chumash and say, Vayi, Bimei HaChashverosh. What does he do? He unravels the entire Megillah. Why do we unravel the entire Megillah? Because it's a big story. And if you read only a very narrow portion of the story, if you just open up to chapter 3 of the Megillah, what are you going to say? That's it. God hates the Jews. He has it out for them. He's rid of them. He wants to take on the Persians as his new people. You have to look at Jewish history as a total package. That's the story of Purim. That's the story of Pesach. That's what the Levim are going to do here right now also. They're not just going to focus on one isolated incident, but they're going to take us back at 30,000 feet and show us the totality of Jewish history. And by doing it, what we're going to come away with is a much greater appreciation for our relationship with Hashem than just focusing at any one moment in time. So now with that introduction, now that I've gotten you all excited, I see you jumping out of your seats, so we're going to do it. Okay, Pasuk Vav. Ata hu Adonai levadecha. You Hashem alone. Ata sisa es ha-shamayim, shamei ha-shamayim, v'chol tzva'am, v'aretz, v'chol asher alea, v'ayamim, v'chol asher behem, v'ata mechayes kulam u'tzva ha-shamayim l'chamesh tachavim. Where do we read this? Psukit Zimra. At the end of the Psukit Zimra. This is the introduction to Kriyas Yamsu. Hashem, you alone, you created the heavens, you created the earth, right? V'chol asher alea, everything on it. You give us all life. V'ata mechayes kulam. And the heavenly bodies, they bow down to you. Ata, you Hashem, who are the one, Adonai Elohim asher bacharta be'avram ve'oseisa mirkasdim ve'samta shmo Avraham. The Malbim points out that this is all a continuous flow. Hashem, not only did you create the world, but you, and if you were at my Parsha class, I guess 2 weeks ago now, no, last week, so you'll remember, we touched upon this a little bit, but we, the Jewish people, are the embodiment of Hashem's providence in this world. Right? We are the what Chazal called the Merkava. We are the conduit to bring Hashem into this world. So we start off by talking about, Hashem, you create, you're big guy. Right? You created heavens and earth and Srafim and Ofanim and all these big things that I don't know what they mean. But how do you manifest it in this world? What's the manifestation of your Hashkacha Pratit, of your divine providence? It's us. It's us, the Jewish people. So we go from Pasuk Vav, talking about quote-unquote big God, to Pasuk Zion, where we talk about quote-unquote little God. In other words, Hashem, you're not just creating the heavens and the earth, but you express it through us, through His people. And that's Pasuk Zion. Ata, you Hashem, the same God who created the heavens and earth. Adonai Elohim asher bacharta b'Avram. You chose Avram Avinu. And you plucked him out of the fiery furnaces of Ur Kasdim. That miracle was no different than the miracle of creating the heavens and the earth. But you manifested it through us. We are a walking testimony, Hashem, to your divine providence. Umatzasa es levavo ne'aman lefanecha. You found him to be a faithful servant before you. V'charos imo habris. You created a covenant with him. This hopefully should be familiar to many of you. La seis etz ha'eretz ha'knani ha'chiti ha'mori ve'aprizi ve'ibusi ve'girgashi. La seis l'zaro v'atakem es devarecha ki tzadik ata. Hashem, you are great. You created the heavens and the earth, but you continued to express your providence in us. And you took Avram out of a fiery furnace. You made a covenant with him at the bris bein of Sarim, and you guaranteed him that his descendants would inherit the land of Israel. Okay, that is, then we go from there into Kriyas Yamsuf, right? And that's the, what we do in Psukah Dezimra. We have to wonder why we do that in Psukah Dezimra. And again, I think it's this whole idea is broadening out the scope of what we're trying to accomplish. Could we just go into Kriyas Yamsuf in Psukah Dezimra? Of course we could. But it would be limited. What we're doing by invoking these psukim from Ezra and Nehemiah is we're showing Hashem there's a total picture of what's going on here. Right? There's, again, I refer to it as big God and little God. Right? There's the God who created heavens and the earth, and there's the God that continues to be intimately involved with us to this very day. That's manifested through his relationship with Avram Avinu. Now, up until now, how are things going? We're good? Of course, we're great. God loves us. God created us. He loved Avram. He promised Avram he's going to deliver the land of Israel. What happens next? Vatere es ani avosenu Mitzrayim. You saw our affliction in the land of Israel, land of Egypt. Ve'es tzakasam shamata al yamsuf. And you heard our crying in the yamsuf. Right? We're showing how God fulfilled his word to us. Okay? That, remember, he said we were going to be slaves in Egypt. And you, when you put us in Egypt, you heard our cries. And you gave us, Vatit Pasuk 10, Vatitain Oso Sumovsim Befaro V'chol Avada V'chol Amartzo. You made enormous, extraordinary miracles in the land of Egypt. Ki Adata, Ki Hezidu Alehem. Because you know that they were mazed against us. What does that mean, they were mazed against us? What does it mean to be mazed? So, we know shogeg in Gemara terms means I do something accidentally. Right? You did a bishogeg. Mazed means I do it what? Intentionally, on purpose. Why are we reprimanding the Egyptians for oppressing us? Isn't that exactly what Hashem had told them to do? Hashem prophesied. He doesn't prophesize, he is. But Hashem foreshadowed at the Bris Bein HaBesarim, at the covenant with Avram Avinu, that we would be slaves in Egypt. All the Egyptians did was bring that to fruition. And now Hashem, you're punishing them for doing exactly what you told them to do? So that's exactly what the Ramban asks on the Chumash. Ramban says, how can you punish the Egyptians for doing exactly what you said? And he says that what happened is, Hashem said the Egyptians are going to punish you. But he didn't say which Egyptian is going to punish you. In other words, Yankala in Egypt could have had a decision to make. He could have participated in the oppression, or he could have chosen not to participate in the oppression. Each individual Egyptian had a choice to make. And therefore, when they made the wrong choice, they're indicted for that. Alternatively, what you can say is, Hashem said you should oppress the Jewish people. But he didn't say that you had to enjoy it. He didn't say the extremes that you had to go to oppress the Jewish people. Right? We know there's oppression and there's oppression. And the Egyptians went to the nth degree to make sure to oppress us. Rabbi Sachs has a very similar comment about slavery. How can we're so opposed, we have such a visceral reaction to slavery, and yet you find slavery in the Torah. So Rabbi Sachs develops this idea that yeah, slavery is in the Torah, but every individual along history had the choice of whether to free slaves or not. In other words, how you treated your slaves was a choice that each individual had. Just because you had an indentured servant, the Eved Ivri, it's not even a slave, it's an indentured servant. But there were rules about how you treated that indentured servant. If you abused those rules, you had to be taken to task. No different than the Egyptians. Egyptians, even if Hashem said you have to enslave the Jews, that didn't mean that you had to throw the babies into the Nile River. That didn't mean you had to treat them the way you treated them. Their slavery and their slavery. So, ki hezidu aleihem, Hashem heard that they were mazed against us. In other words, they took pleasure. They were intentional about the way that they persecuted us. V'tas l'cha Hashem kayom hazeh. What was the net result, Hashem? V'tas l'cha Hashem. Right? Think about the word that appears over and over in Shmos, Va'era, Bo. The word yada. The whole purpose of the miracles that Hashem provided was so that the Egyptians in the world would know Hashem's name. That was the whole purpose of it. So Hashem, you heard our cries in Egypt, you made miracles happen, and now everyone knows who you are. Again, we're the conduit. That's exactly what we spoke about last week. We, the Jewish people, are the conduit to know you, Hashem. V'hayam bakata livnehem, the ocean split, v'yavru besochayam b'yabasha, and we, your people, went through it, v'esurfei mishlachtum mislos kmo evim mayim azim, and the people that chased after us, they were drowned like rocks in the water. And again, that again comes from Pesukei Zim. So far, so good. Pasuk Yibet. Uva'amud anan hanchisam yom. You guided us in a fiery furnace during the day. I'm sorry, with a cloud during the day. Uva'amud esh laila, in fire at night. La'ir lahem esaderech asher yelchubo. You not just took us out of Egypt, but your chesed, your kindness continued. You guided us during the desert. V'al har Sinai, pasuk yud gimel, and on har Sinai you came down. V'daber imahem mishamayim. Think about how extraordinary har Sinai was. God came and spoke to man. And you gave us laws, mishpatim yisharim, torot emet, chukim, mitzvot, tovim. You did this all for our benefit, Hashem. And it's not only that. V'es shabbas kadshecha hodatalem. You taught us about Shabbos. The Malbim says, "Ki b'Shabbos hodi lahem panot pinot ha'emuna michidush ha'olam." What Shabbos? Shabbos is about reigniting our emuna in that the fact that Hashem continuously recreates the world. Ki heim munhagim be'anhagas hashkachati. What a beautiful word! Shabbos is our reminder that Hashem is always looking out for us. That's what that says the Malbim, is our amuna. That's our focus. That's our kavana. On Shabbos, is to think about the fact that Hashem didn't just create the world, right? Think about what we invoke in Kiddush on Shabbos. On the one hand, we say, we talk about Bereishis. Shabbos is a remembrance to the creation of the world. But what else do we say on Shabbos? Zecher liyasiyas Mitzrayim. How can Shabbos be both a reminder of creation and a reminder of Yetzias Mitzrayim? The answer is, that's the point. Rav Moshe has this point in Drash Moshe on Shabbos Agadol. He says, why do we highlight the Shabbos before Pesach? Right? I understand Shabbos Shuvah. It's in the middle of, you don't want to lose that opportunity to inspire people. Why do we highlight Shabbos Agadol, specifically the Shabbos before Pesach? He says, because you can't have Pesach without Shabbos. Shabbos and Pesach are hand in hand. Pesach reminds us that Hashem is continuously, intimately involved in the world. Shabbos reminds us that Hashem created the world. You can't have one emuna without the other. We both need to have the emuna that Hashem created the world and that He continues to be involved in the world. And that's why every Friday night at Kiddush, we talk about Maisa Bereishis, but also Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, because you need both of those. Okay? That, says the Malbim, is what we're supposed to think about on Shabbos. Beautiful idea, right? Veshabbos kadshecha hodata lahem. You gave us Shabbos, pasuk 14, Hashem. Umitzvos v'chukim v'torah tzivisa l'biyad Moshe avdecha. Again, you did all this great stuff for us. And there's more. We're in the desert. Deserts are filled with scorpions and it's hot. And there was no mall there to go shopping for new clothes. But you, Hashem, you took care of us. V'lecha mishamayim nasata lahem l'ravam. You gave us food. And when we were thirsty, you gave us water. And you took us and you're going to help us conquer the land of Israel. Wow. Hashem is pretty good to us. What a great Hashem. What miracles, big, little, small, everything Hashem has done for us. And how do we respond? The same way your children responded to all the things you do for them. No, I'm not going to take a bath tonight. I don't want to eat my vegetables at dinner. I hate, right? All this stuff. Right? That's the rebellious child. That's exactly how we reacted. It's funny, we're cleaning up the house. We have to clean up a couple of the closets. So I found the old camcorder. You guys remember what a camcorder is. Right, so an old camcorder. I'm not so old, but I'm married now, coming up to 12 years, I think. I shouldn't get this wrong. Hold on a second, this is important. 12 years, right, 12 years. Okay, I have to do a little math. My son's 11. I'm married 12 years, right? So we have the recorder from when he was young. And Ari and I were watching it the other night. And I looked at her at one point and I said, do you think our kids will ever appreciate everything we did for them? From the diaper, I mean, think of it, like, we change people, like, diapers and, like, throw up and, like, do they? And then I realized, I'm like, wait a second. I never thank my mom for any of that. Right? If I do that for my son, I'm guessing, I don't know, maybe I was a perfect child, but I'm guessing my mom listens to this. Mom, thank you. But that's the point, right? That's the nature of human nature, is that we are very good at accepting other people's kindness. We're very bad at showing the appreciation back. So that's Pasuk Tezayin. Now is like a pivot. Don't forget, these Levim are, they're on fire. They're like Shana Aleph guys in Yeshiva. They're saying, Hashem, you're great. We love you. And how do we react? Pasuk Tezayin 16. Vehem Vavosenu Hezidu. What? Did I make a wrong photocopy? Oh. Okay. Oh my goodness. I'm sorry. I apologize. It'll be story time. I won't read as much inside, I promise. Okay? Vehem vavosenu hezidu. And what do? We rebelled against Hashem. Vayakshu esarpam. We became stiff-necked. Velo shamua mitzvosecha. And even though you did all these favors for us, we didn't fulfill your mitzvos. Vayimanu lishmoa. What's vayimain? We refused to listen to you. Velo zachru niflosecha asher asisa imahem. We didn't remember all of the niflaot, all of the miracles that you performed for us. Exactly like a child. Think about a rebellious child. What hurts the parent the most? I did so much for you. I invested so much of myself in you. I gave you so much. All of those late nights, all of those early mornings, all of the financial resources, all of the worry. And you don't even appreciate it? You don't even follow in my ways? That's exactly what Hashem, we insulted you. Ve'ata, but you, Eloah Slicho, Chanun V'Rachum, Hashem, you are the master of mercy. Erech Apayim, you're slow to get angry. V'Rav Chesed, you have infinite kindness to us. V'lo Azavtem, despite the fact that we forgot you, Hashem, you didn't forget us. V'lo Azavtem. Pasuk Yirchet, and then we even made a Egel, says the Navi. And we angered you. But despite the fact that we made an egel, this last week's parsha, still, nonetheless, Hashem, you did not forsake us. You still kept doing all the kindness. Right? If you think about it, every moment of our lives, in all likelihood, Hashem is invoking His kindness towards us. Right? A bracha. Probably didn't make the bracha the way I should. And yet, what doesn't happen? Lightning doesn't strike me that moment. Why? Because Hashem is Kel, Erech Apayim. He's slow to anger and He has chesed to us. And that's exactly what they're saying here. Hashem, even though we were unworthy, we spit in your face and you know what you came back the next day? You did good for us anyways. The son who has the temper tantrum the night before, the mother still makes the breakfast for him the next morning. Right? Because that's what love means. Hashem, you had this infinite love for us. Okay? I'm trying to skip some of the psukim. In those 40 years in the desert, it's actually an important pasuk. Sam lo seichem lo balu v'raglehem lo batzeku. We couldn't go shopping in the malls. We had the clothes we left Egypt. 40 years in the desert. That, right? Everyone grows. You grow either this way or that way a little bit. So, well, most people, right? So, but the clothes grew with us. And our shoes never became rotten. They never wore out on us. Vatitain lahem mamlachot v'amamim v'tilchak. You gave us the land. You literally, we walked into the land of Israel. And you allow us to wipe out the Sichon and the Amori. Uvenehem irbisa kechosh v'yashamayim. And we became numerous, like the stars in the sky. And you took us into the land. Asher amarta lavoseim lavo lareshet. The way you promised Avram Avinu. That's exactly what happened. And we came into the land, and you humbled the nations of the world before us, and you allowed us to conquer it. You did all these things. And what happens? Exact same thing. Vayamru, vayimrudu, bach, we rebelled against you. Vayashlichu es Torascha acharei gavam. We threw away your Torah. Ves nivyecha haragun. We killed your Nevi'im. Who's that talking about? Right? We killed plenty of them. Okay? Right? We imprisoned Yirmiyahu. Right? We killed, we imprisoned, we scoffed at your Nevi'im. Asher heyidu bam lashiva melecha. All they wanted to do was to bring us back to you. And we spit in their face. Vayatsun ne'etzot gilolo. Ne'etzot means we made you angry. We had temper tantrums over and over and over again. Vatitneim biyad sarehem. And you gave us over to Tzara. In other words, you couldn't handle it anymore. But what happened? Yitzaku elecha. A nation comes. They oppressed us. We cry out to you. And again, Ve'atam yishamayim tishma. And you heard it. Uverachamecha rabim titein lahem moshi'im v'yoshi'um miyatzareim. The second we cried out, you came and you listened. You're a glutton for punishment, Hashem. You know we're going to rebel. Right? The child who has a temper tantrum. And the next morning they come to you and they say, I'm sorry. And you say, okay, fine. It usually didn't happen with me. It usually happens for me when I go into their room at night. And I look at them, they're so peaceful, they're so sweet. And I'm like, fine, maybe you're not as atrocious as I thought you were 15 minutes ago. And then the next morning, they're atrocious again. Right? That's what Hashem, it's literally, that's exactly the imagery that it is here. Okay? Uchenoach lahem. What's noach? What does the word noach mean? Hashem, you gave us rest from our enemies. Yashuvu la'asos ra lefanecha. We went back to our evil, wicked ways. And again, the exact same thing. Vayizaku, I'm skipping around a little bit. Vayizaku, we cried out to you again. Ve'atam mishamayim tishma. And again, you listened. Vatatzilein brachamecha rabotitim. And again, you had mercy on us. Story over and over and over again. Vatitneim biyad amei aratzot. Eventually, Malbim says, this refers to the exile of the 10 tribes. You kicked us out. But even though this is Laman Aleph, I'm almost back to where you guys are. Even though you kicked us out, uverachamech harbim lo asitem kala velo azavtan. Right? Did Hashem wipe us off the face of the earth? No. He may have exiled many of us, many of the Jewish people, but he didn't get rid of us. Ki el chanun v'rachumata. Because you are merciful, Hashem. Ve'ata pasuk lamibet. Now we're at your page again. Okay? Ve'ata Eloheinu, ha'el, ha'gadol, ha'gibor, v'hanara, sound familiar? Right, the Gemara in Yoma very famously says, what makes the Anshei Knesset Gedola? Why were they called Gedola? Because they returned these three words to the Jewish people. Right, that at various points in Jewish history, there were those that questioned Hashem's relationship with the Jewish people, but the Anshei Knesset Gedola brought all three words back, put it into our Shemoneh Esrei to say, as a sign of Hashem's eternal love for His people. Hakel, Agado, Agibor, Ve'anora, Shomer HaBris, you kept your promise. Right? The Bris is the Bris Bein HaBisarim. Right? That's why we talk about V'zacharti Esprisi Avram, V'esprisi Yitzchak. Right? Hashem, you remembered your covenant. Ve'achesed al yim'at lefanecha. You never once diminished your chesed to us. Et kol atla asher metzatnu l'malchenu l'sarenu l'kohanenu l'vneinu l'avasenu l'chol amecha. Despite all of the things that we did, you never once diminished it. Mimei malchei Ashur ad yom hazeh, from the time of Ashur up until this day. Pasuk lamed gimel ve'ata tzadik al kol ba'aleinu ki emet asita ve'anachnu hirshanu. You are a tzadik. In other words, you are righteous, Hashem. What does that mean, you're righteous? It means all of those things that you did bad, that we questioned, we now realize that you're in the right. It was us who were wrong. Okay? Where do we know this line from? Slichot, we say it Mondays and Thursdays, I believe we say this line, in the long Tachanun. Right? Ve'ata tzadik al kol ba'aleinu ki emet asita. You were righteous, Hashem. Ve'anachnu hirshanu. We now realize that it was us who is in the wrong. Ves malkeinu, sarenu, kohanenu, ve'avosenu, lo asu torah secha. It's not that you were bad to us. It's us. It's on us. We have to take responsibility. Ve'lo hikshivu el mitzvot secha. We didn't listen to your mitzvos. Ulei do secha asher edoti bahem. And we didn't listen to the testimony, in other words, your Torah, your Nevi'im, the infrastructure that you gave us. What an amazing epiphany for the Jewish people to have. I mean, this is, let's just pause for a second. This is astonishing. It's an astonishing mea culpa from a people to say to Hashem, we now realize that throughout Jewish history, there's been a few constants. Your chesed and our rebelliousness. And we now realize that all those times that you punished us, that we may have questioned you, you were in the right and we were in the wrong. And we realize that now. That's what you gain by looking at Jewish history as a total picture. If you just looked at Parag Gimel of Megillas Esther, you would think Hashem gave up on the Jewish people. He's not even in the Megillah. The Jewish people are gone forever. Throw up our hands, dismay, despair. But when you finish the Megillah, what do you realize? The greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that even when we don't see Him, His hand is ever present throughout our history. You can only gain that looking at things in retrospect. You don't always appreciate that in the moment in time, which is why, right at a funeral, what do? We do tzedakah kadin. Right? We acknowledge God's divine righteousness, because even in that moment in time, it's important to remember, even though we might question God, and we might wonder why God would do certain things, Chazal in their infinite wisdom implanted at that moment a reminder to put it into perspective, that Hashem's wisdom is infinite. His justice is perfect. Okay, we, as human beings, are imperfect. Pasuk Lamed Hey, 35. Vehein b'malchusam uvetuvcha harav asher nasata lehem v'eretz harchava v'ashmeina asher natata lebneim lo avaducha. Despite the fact that you gave them the land of Israel, right? Hashmeina, what's shmeina? Fat, like a fat land. A fat land is a prosperous land. A good land, a startup nation land. Right, a land that has a GDP that dwarfs many countries, doubles, triple its size. Velo shavu mimala lehem haraim. And despite that, they did not return from their evil ways. Hine, pasuk lamed vav. Hine means like now, right? Like, behold, anachnu hayom avadim. Despite what our previous generations did in their ungrateful attitude towards you, in their rebellious attitude toward you, Hine anachnu hayom avadim. We are turning a page in history right now. We are your servants. Ve'aretz asher nasata lavoseinu lechol et pirya ve'tuva. Hine anachnu avadim alea. In the land that you promised us and you gave us, we are here to work it and to be your servants on it. Utvuasa marbe lamlachim asher natata aleim bechatosenu v'al gviosenu moshlim uvemtenu kirtzonam uvitzara gdola anachnu. Hashem, we need you. We need you to help us. Right? But, excuse me. Right? Its produce is abundant. You've placed, right? But we have kings that are placed over us. Who are the kings? Who are we talking about? Do the Jewish people have complete autonomy at this point in time? No. Right? Nehemiah, don't forget, is a political appointee. Persia is lurking in the background. Think back to the Nevi'im of Haggai and Zechariah, where they say that ultimate Geula is not going to come, redemption is not going to come, until you shed the yoke of the oppressing nations. Remember, those were a lot of the Nevuos of Zechariah, of the end of days Nevuos. It was when we would get rid of Persia, and we would be autonomous. So we say, Hashem, it's very nice you brought us here, but because of our sins, there's still the Persian kings that we're dependent on for permission. Right? Uvitzara gdola anachnu. Hashem, we are in immense pain over all of this. Right? Malbim says, Umekablim aleinu lishmor es haTorah. We accept upon ourselves to keep the Torah. Uvezeh, and through that, Halonitkan chet havos. We will fix the sin of our forefathers. Shelo avducha beis ayu ba'aretz. Vaya lahem kol tov. Right? They were in the land of Israel, and they still didn't return from their ways. We're going to be different. This is turning a page in history. Right? It's an amazing statement about where the Jewish people were at this moment in time. Now, this parak is important for a number of reasons. Number one, I hope, I'm sorry you didn't have it all inside, but I hope at least you get a little bit of an insight into the value of telling the broader story. Right? You could have just said, We're here in the land of Israel. Our forefathers didn't do a good job. We're going to do better. Would that have had the same impact? No, there's like a buildup of all the chesed that Hashem does. And you kind of climb the mountain, and then you get to the top. You know, it's like on a roller coaster. They like pause you there for a minute to let that anxiety settle in. And then, bam, it makes the drop that much more, what's the word, meaningful, so to speak, because of the buildup of the rise. So when you look at Jewish history in a total picture, you gain a different level of appreciation for Hashem's chesed and our waywardness that you can never get in one or two psukim. And this, again, I think is what we do in benching. I think that's the kavana, the intention that we're supposed to have in benching. When we reference not just Hashem, thank you for the food, but the entire picture, the whole shebang, what are we accomplishing? We're invoking those types of emotions, and I think that's the Seder night also. Right, the Seder night, so much of what we're doing is taking ourselves back, putting ourselves at 30,000 feet, looking down in Jewish history and saying, wow, Hashem was really good for us. We weren't always as good in return. How does that dynamic play out? Okay. The other thing that I think this is really important about, and we're not going to finish this week, but I'm going to leave you with this food for thought, is where does this leave us going forward? Okay, we just finished Perek Tes, chapter 9. There are 13 prakim in Sefer Nechemiah. Keep this in mind as we finish this narrative. Because if we ended right here, what would you think? Mass tshuva movement. This is really an amazing parak. It's an inspiring parak. It's an empowering parak. I'm on fire listening to it. There's a reason why Chazal called from this parak to various, to whether it's Tachanun on Monday and Thursday, Slichos. There's a reason why they use it. These are powerful psukim. Let's wait and see how the story ends. Okay? Dun, dun, dun. All right, next week we're back on for Thursday. Everyone have a great week.